Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the craziest to happen in running this week. This week's stories include bikers attacking Walmsley, the newest Hoka team member, and See You in Squaw is now on Twitter. Jim Walmsley continues to slay course records on Strava, this past week taking down Jay Danick's King of the Mountain on the Thompson Peak descent to Prospector Turn near Scottsdale by 3 minutes, 20 seconds. For those of you out there suffering from a KOM loss to Walmsley, there is a support group forming to help you with your loss. Grievance counselors will be available. Members of the Trail and Ultra Running Facebook group were triggered this week after one member posted a picture of the Austin Half Marathon Finisher Award. This was no ordinary medal, but in fact a coveted belt buckle featuring a treble clef and the Austin City skyline. The sacredness of the belt buckle in ultra running goes back to the original 100 miler, the Western States 100. Interesting that the belt buckle now so revered in ultra running was actually inspired by the Tevis Cup 100, which preceded the 100 mile foot race first finished in 1974. The Tevis Cup 100 is of course a horse race. Whether or not a half marathon is a worthy distance for the belt buckle is I'm sure due for a healthy debate, but let's not forget even us ultra runners took the idea from somewhere else. In ultra fashion this week, one shoe brand has broken through to an A-list celebrity. Hoka baby one more time. Yeah, that's right. Pop superstar Britney Spears posted to her Instagram wearing a pair of Hoka shoes posing on a white fence. I know Team Hoka has been stepping up their game in 2017, but wow, this one really caught us off guard. Who's next? The Biebs? Cracking down on what you can and can't wear this week while participating in endurance sports is Ironman. In their newest rule, participants can no longer race shirtless. I'm sorry, Ironman, but I already wasn't going to participate in one of your events, but now I surely will never do so. Banning going shirtless is pretty crazy in my book. Can someone help me understand what is going on here? Because I'm utterly clueless. It's March, and I'm sad to report the death of Montrail on social media. Not only have they stopped posting to the Montrail Twitter account, but also to Facebook. Instagram is even more confusing for the trail running brand that has an ongoing identity crisis these past few years. Montrail Running on Instagram hasn't posted since 2014, but Montrail Original posted as recently as February 2016. I'm just going to assume they've abandoned the platform entirely. If you want to keep up with Montrail's afterlife, you can now follow at Montrail's Ghost on Twitter, which will proudly carry on the brand's legacy. Oh, and on a side note for full disclosure, you can still follow the rebranded Columbia Montrail shoe line on Twitter at Columbia1938. Congrats to the newlywed Flagstaff trail running power couple, Alicia and Chris Vargo, who are due July 31st with their first child. Look out for little baby Vargo to be tearing up the ski-mo and trail running scene come 2037. Filmmaker and trail runner Billy Yang announced via video this week he is training for his next 100 miler, the Leadville 100, this summer. He's kicking off his training with a month of a vegan diet. If you want to join him, use the hashtag VeganMarch. Pro tip for you, Billy, you can always find hummus and french fries almost any place you go. The proliferation of anonymous Twitter accounts continues. An account called @SeeYouInSquaw popped up this week. This might be the first time a hashtag has possessed a real-life Twitter handle. Now this brings us to a larger question. Who are running these anonymous accounts? It's quite an interesting phenomenon, as many of them are intimately familiar with the ongoings and goings-on of our sport. We're not yet sure who are behind these often witty accounts, but here's something to chew on. The first six accounts that @SeeYouInSquaw followed? Number one, Scott Wolf, Craig Thornley, Andy Jones Wilkins, Jamil Curry, Mountain Outpost, and Aid Station Garbage Can. We did mention #SeeYouInSquaw during last week's show, and the account was created shortly thereafter. I can tell you we are not behind this account, so maybe someone in the Scott Wolf Lord Balls AJW trifecta is? If you have any tips that might lead to the discovery of this or any other anonymous Twitter accounts, hit us up on Twitter direct message. Our jackass of the week is this mountain biker seen zipping past Tarawera race leader and now course record holder Jim Walmsley at the 2017 race in New Zealand last month. This idiot bikes past Walmsley and then wrecks right in front of him, causing Jim to take a leap of safety not to get caught in his mangled carnage. Jim comments on Facebook with more details. When I pass by, it gets shaky as the lead biker takes a fall right in front of me and I had to jump over the cyclist. I remember how crazy it was to see his bike go flying. He was all right, as a few miles later, he was able to continue passing me. Then I'd pass him, then he'd pass me, type of game, through a lot of the race. Not ideal situation for most of the single track trail. I know we all as spectators like a close-up view of the leaders, but this is a bit out of hand. Ricky Gates set off on his 5-month-long run across the country with nothing more than a Salomon pack, poles, and a camera. One of the most adventurous ultra guys out there, this will be Ricky's biggest undertaking to date, and I'm sure incredible stories will surface over the coming months. I sure hope Salomon TV will be on hand for this one. We'll be regularly reporting on his whereabouts as he heads west. The Coqueninos were on a tear this week as two 50Ks on opposite sides of the country were smoked by Flagstaffers. Cody Reed, a proper Coquemino cowboy, took home the win at the blisteringly fast, way too cool 50K, winning in 3:16. Gotta mention Megan Roche's hat trick win in 3:52. It was Flagstaffer and ultra virgin Tyler German who tore up the Comset Park 50K, which served as the USATF Road National Champs. His 2:48 is believed to be the second all-time North American performance. He split a 2:21 marathon en route. Damn. Hey, did you see that Netflix documentary about the crazy race no one can finish in the backwoods? It's a line quickly becoming on par with the 2010 version of, "Hey, did you read that book about the super athlete runner tribe who eats chia seeds?" With popularity comes problems. Those who want to experience the Barkley for themselves have been out training off trail in Frozen Head and literally jeopardizing the future of the event. For those of you who don't know, training off trail, i.e. not on marked, maintained park trails, is forbidden by the park and race management of the Barkley. Laz posted this week on Facebook that, "If you all do not get this through your heads, it will eventually kill the Barkley." I hope that woke you up. Now quit it. We love this next clip. This one comes from Laura Muir's new 1500-meter European Championship record of 4:02 set this past weekend. After her gold medal run, she was apparently stopped by officials from completing a victory lap. Laura wasn't having it, and she awkwardly ran past officials as they attempted to physically block her from the track. She persisted and got her lap after all.
Against the locals. Oh, go on, Laura, well done. Go for it, girl. British fans down the back straight. There are loads of British flags. I can see somebody coming down to the trackside to give her a flag. Here we go. There you go. And, well, there was a Scottish flag there, but she's representing.
In clean sport, convicted triathlete doper Holly Belogue registered for the Old Pueblo 50 Mile held this past weekend in southern Arizona under her maiden name of Hancock. She tested positive for exogenous testosterone after winning her age group at Ironman Texas last year and is serving a 4-year ban from Ironman events and other WADA-sanctioned races. We were down at Old Pueblo this weekend to confront her, but once the race director got wind of her attempt to deceive them, they booted her from the entrance list. That's what I'm talking about! It appears she did compete at the TNF Utah 50 Mile last September, which under their anti-doping rules could be cause for retroactive disqualification. Come on, you dopes. Just stop it. Stop it. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share or have a favorite Montrail shoe, tweet us at Mountain Outpost. Have a shitty week.